All right, thank you very much. And hello again, dear radio friends. How in the world are you? Yes, this is your good friend, Dr. Cookin, and yes, I do wait for you to answer back, although we don't have two-way communication. I have a kind of spiritual radar that tells me whether or not some folks are answering. It's a fact, I can feel whether or not you're with me. And I know that you are, and I'm grateful. Well, we're having what I call some random wrap-up thoughts from Colossians. We finished our verse-by-verse discussion. And now, just by way of wrapping up our whole study, I've been just working with you on some special wrap-up thoughts that help to identify the truth as we found it. Look now at chapter 3 for a bit of wrap-up review. The verbs that Paul uses in that chapter give you the key to what he's telling us to do. The verb in chapter 3, verse 1, is seek. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The matter of vigorously pursuing a spiritual dimension to your life. Now, it's a pity, but many believers pay no attention whatsoever to the dimensions of their day-by-day and hour-by-hour life. And it ends up being thoroughly secular, so much so that as a pastor, when I would call on my members, oftentimes I would find them vaguely embarrassed to talk about the things of God. It's not that they were against them, it was that they just hadn't been paying any attention to them in a workaday world, and they were just vaguely uneasy and embarrassed about it. This happened so often that it became apparent to me that the pattern for many a believer is a secular lifestyle punctuated by episodes of religious activity. Now he says, you work on a heavenly dimension to your life. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. The key to a spiritual and a heavenly dimension to your earthly life is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Make him Lord of your life, and you'll have a heavenly component, a heavenly factor, a heavenly dimension, to change the figures of speech slightly, to your life. You want to think and pray about that? He says, work at, seek means work at it. Work at having a heavenly dimension to your earthly life. And that doesn't mean that you're going around being pious about everything. My little Cookism proverb on that is, if you see a man who's always pious, you have to watch him because he's apt to lie about other things too. You can be a normal human being, my friend, and just enjoy a good laugh and weep with those who weep and rejoice with those that rejoice, as Paul said. You can be a normal, helpful human being, and at the same time, you can be full of the Spirit of God. The key to that, according to Colossians 3:1, is the Lordship of Christ. Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Get a heavenly dimension to your earthly life. Don't let it be a secular lifestyle punctuated now and then by some religious episode, but let it be full of the atmosphere of heaven all the time. Good idea? Verse 2 has another verb. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This has to do then with your emotions. Set your affections, as let your emotions be controlled by heavenly stimuli. Let your emotions be controlled by heavenly stimuli. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, now we live in a workaday world, and it's not possible to drop everything in order to be heavenly. I said that a moment ago in discussing verse 1. It's true that some people are so heavenly minded that they're no earthly good. And the tendency to be religious instead of being productive on the job is a failing that many a professing Christian has. Pat Zondervan, who founded with his brother the Zondervan Publishing Company, observed that there were some people who were not getting their work done, but they did have a habit of praying a lot, right at their desks or with other people, which is a good thing. But he came around, a hard-nosed Dutchman that he is, practical. He came around one day, and he noticed that their work wasn't getting done. And he said, "Fellas," he said, "you oughtn't to pray so much on company time." Now, that sounds a little irreverent, but he hit the nail right on the head, didn't he? Yes, God doesn't require you to be useless in order to be spiritual. You follow me? So he says, you work at, set your affection on things above. You work at making sure that your emotional life is responding to heavenly stimuli. How does that come about? Well, it comes about through the blessed Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "He shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." He's the comforter. Parakletos is the Greek word, mean one called alongside to help. He's the one that brings Jesus and all the things of eternity into reality in your own life, including then your mind and your emotions and your will. And then what I'm doing, for somebody who just tuned in late, this is a wrap-up session for the third chapter of Colossians, and we're looking at the verbs that Paul uses. Then he has, in verse 5, mortify your members which are upon the earth. That is the part of your ordinary earthly life as a fallen son or daughter of Adam, as a member of a sinful human race. That's what he means when he says your members upon the earth. Then he lists a number of things: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in which ye also lived sometime, when ye also walked sometime, when ye lived in them. Mortify says that. Now that word means put it to death. I have to tell you that to be spiritually effective, there must come to you and to me a point where we face things which we know to be wrong in the sight of God, and we say, "That's it. I've had it. It's all over. It's not right with God, and I'm not going to do it or say it or think it, whatever it is, anymore." To put it to death by faith. Now you say, "Well, Brother Cook, I can't help it." And I say, join the group. How often, facing my own shortcomings, I've said, "My God, I can't help this." Well, He can. That's the answer. He can. Oh, I have to face this truth every day, and so indeed must you, beloved. Where you know that it's wrong, where you know that it's against the will of God. And he lists a number of things that have to do with our relationships with other human beings, the use of our minds, a connection with other humans that is not in the will of God, and then the slavery of things, covetousness, the slavery of things. He says that's equal to idolatry. You're putting things before God. He lists them and he says, now you face that and say, that's it. Put it to death. Now how do you do it? By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, not the old Saul of Tarsus with murder in his heart, the proud and successful, religiously successful Saul of Tarsus with murder in his heart. Not I, not the old Saul of Tarsus, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in this human body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." How do you do this? How do you face something that's wrong in your life and end it? You do it with the Lord Jesus in control. By faith, you take that area of your life and you turn it over to him. And then you keep on turning it over to him. For one point action decision does not change a character. A character is formed by a series of decisions. And so you start by turning it over to the Lord, and then, step by step, every time you're tested, every time you're tempted, every time you feel your own defenses giving way, you turn again in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you remind Him in prayer and in faith that He is in control of that area of your life as well as all the rest. And so a series of decisions based on commitment to Christ eventuates in a character that is geared to heaven's standards. That's great truth, isn't it? Mortify. Well then, verse 8, "Now," he said, "ye also put off all of these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth, lying." Lie not one to another. Ye put off. Well, what do you do about that? This is to say that there are certain areas of your life that you work on, not that they are so gross that they are identified immediately as being of the old life, but that they are human shortcomings that you need to work on, and you put them off like you take off an overcoat. You take them off like you take off an outer garment. Anger. Be angry, says Paul, and sin not. 99% of the times when you lose your temper, you are also out of the will of God. Righteous indignation doesn't happen near so often as personal frustration and pique that lead to losing one's temper. Wrath is anger with a hammer in its hand. Malice is anger that wishes ill to the other person. Blasphemy, you know what that is, swearing and using minced oaths and all the rest. Filthy communication, dirty stories. Lie not, lying. Do Christians lie? Yes, I'm afraid they do from time to time. You need to work at telling the truth. I used to tell the young men in Youth for Christ, "Fellas, tell the truth, then you don't have to try to remember what you said last." Work at putting off the shortcomings with which people normally live quite comfortably because they're used to them. Jesus is Lord. Make Him Lord of your failings and your shortcomings and your mistakes. Amen? Oh, that's great truth. We'll get at some more of it the next time we get together. Dear Father, today, may we be people with a heavenly mindset, with our emotions responding to heaven's call. In Jesus' name I ask this, amen and amen. God bless you, dear friend. Well, till we meet once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611. Or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6308. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.